Okay, so we're holding on Yud Amun Aleph, the fourth line. We've been discussing that in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, we had a couple of things in which B'Shama was Meiko and B'Sil was Machmir. One of them that we're focusing on particularly is that B'Shama allows you to Shecht on Yom Tov without having Ofer Muchon, as long as you have Deco notes, a spade already stuck in the ground before Yom Tov. And B'Sil says you need the dirt to actually be Muchon. The other machlokes in that Mishnah also B'Shama is Meiko, but those were not focusing on because the Beitza should know the Yom Tov is not, it's not really a matter of Simchas Yom Tov to be able to eat the egg, and the one about Chometz and Sa'or is not relevant to the Halachas of Yom Tov in general. So the Gemara has been asking then that throughout the rest of the Perek, though, we find the other way around that B'Shama is Machmir. If, for example, in our Mishnah, where they're saying that you can't carry the ladder from one Sheva, from one birdhouse to another, only move it over from one window to another. So why is that? So we started saying that Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that the shittas are flipped around, that one or the other of these Mishnayas, that some of these Mishnayas have to be flipped around. According to Rashi, it would be all the ones from our Mishnah onward, and according to Tosfos, it would be the one about Hashechet Chayiv Oif B'Yamtiv. Anyway, but each one, so far, we went through a couple of them, and we said not necessarily, because there is actually a reason we can actually understand Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel as being consistent in the case of the latter is Bes Shammai. After all, by the Shechet Chayiv Oif, there is a Deco note. By the latter, there's not, and people are going to think that he's carrying it in order to fix his roof, like we said yesterday. And Basil, on the other hand, says the fact that he has a shoivach demonstrates not. And we went through a couple more examples like that, where we see where B'Shama is being machmer, and the Gemara says by each one of them, not necessarily does that have to demonstrate the chalefas hashita. You could say that each time B'Shama has a reason to be machmer there, that wouldn't apply by Sheikhet Chayev Oif B'Yamtiv. So the Gemara says, Eli Ikasha Hokasha. If there's a question, that something where B'Shamai and B'Shillel seem to be contradicting themselves, then it would be from the following Mishnah, which we'll learn tomorrow about Hashem. B'Shamai says you're not allowed to take an Eli to chop meat on it. An Eli is a big, heavy wooden board. Usually you use it for pounding wheat. Usually you like this. They had dishes out of cracked wheat in those days called taugis and chilki and tisni and whatever, depending on how finely they break up the wheat grains. And you would use this eli, which is a big heavy wooden board, to do that on it. So therefore, now it's a klisha malach de l'isser, because even though malachas eichel nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov, this making this chilka and taugis and so forth is not mutter on Yom Tov. As we discussed, we discussed briefly at the beginning of the Masechta various possibilities. Is it because there are only certain malachas eichel nefesh that are mutter on Yom Tov d'oraisa, or is it because the Chachamim didn't want us to, the Chachamim restricted ones that could have been done before Yom Tov without any loss of quality or flavor or what have you, and this would be an example of that. Whatever the case, the Eli is a klisha malach de l'isser, so therefore it's mukta. So B'Shamai says you're not allowed to take it to use it for a different purpose to chop meat on it. In other words, they're saying you're not allowed to even l'tzarech gufa. Or B'Shillel, Matirin, whereas B'Shillel says it's mukta. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and what grounds exactly it's mukta, because you could take the view that it's klisha malach de l'isser. You could also take the view that it's mukta machmas chisor and kis, which has different rules. So we'll get back to that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Anyway, alma gabis simchas Yom Tov b'shamay l'chumra b'shillel l'kula. So you see again that when it comes to simchas Yom Tov, b'shillel is going to be mekel, and they're going to say yes, even though this is a klisha malach de l'isser, we're still going to allow you to move it for this purpose of simchas Yom Tov, to be able to chop meat for your Yom Tov table. And b'shillel and b'shamay is going to be machmer. On the other hand, why is it by the Shechita? Because Shammai are the ones who are being maple. So then, Rabbi Yochanan mukhlafas hashita. So now, Rabbi Yochanan wants to say, therefore, that we have to flip around some of these Mishnayos. Either, according to Rashi, we'd have to flip around the one about the Eli and say that this Hillel would not allow it, this Shammai would. Or according to Tosfos, we'd flip around the one about Shechit Chayv Oifiyamtiv. And again, the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that that's necessary? Duma lohi, maybe that's not a valid comparison. Ad kam lakami b'shamay hosmet lo ika deko notes. Again, we said before on Zionam Beis that b'shamay requires deko notes. The spade already has to be stuck into the ground beforehand. So therefore, you already have the beginning of digging, and therefore they don't have a problem with the rest of it. But in the case of the Eli, there's no corresponding deco note. The fact is the Keli is Muksa. So therefore, Loi, so therefore they're gonna say not. Inami, and furthermore, as far as Bishilol, Adkan Lakami Bishilol Hacha, Eladika Todas Kliolov, Bishilol is gonna say, you know what? Fine, the Eli is Muksa. The fact is it does have the form and the function of a Keli. It's a Keli Shemalakta Isu, fine, but it's still a Keli. So there, and the usual rule is that a klisha malakta le'isu, you are allowed to move l'tzarech gufo yamakayimai. For example, the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us you're allowed to take a hammer and use it to crack nuts, let's say. So the same thing over here, they're going to allow it for that reason. Aval hosam loy. But over there, there's no todas kli to talk about, and therefore they're going to say no. So there's no reason to say that Mishnah of the Eli and the one about Hashoichet Chayv Oif should contradict each other and have to say that anything should be flipped around. Ela e kasha ha kasha. So rather, if we have to ask
the reason exactly?
So the reason is, with each one of these, we're saying that when the Shammai is mako by the Shechita, is because there's deco notes. They're saying we're only allowing it anyway if the shovel is stuck into the ground, meaning that the beginning of the malacha was already done before Yom Tov. It's already, we said that it's loose dirt as well, but because the spade is already stuck in, therefore it's as if the chafira, the digging, was already begun, and therefore you can continue it on Yom Tov. It's not considered a full malacha. We talked about yesterday also something that the Rashba says on it, that it's like when you're making an oil, if you have part of the oil extended, then you can do the rest of it. So when you have that, then this Shammai can be makel. By the case of the Eli over here, you have no such thing. And vice versa, this Hillel is going to say that the fact is the Eli is a Keli, therefore the usual rules of Muktzah are going to apply to it. A Kli Shemalachta Le'isu, you're allowed to move sort of Gufoy Mekon, right? Therefore, that's what applies here also. So we'll talk about tomorrow, Beis Hashem, what about on the possibility that it's actually a Muktzah Machnas Chisorin Kis that has stricter rules. So we'll get back to that tomorrow, Beis Hashem. But anyway, so since it's a Keli, then therefore the rules of Kalim apply and you can move it on Yom Tov. But over there, you don't have anything like that. So therefore, yeah. Ela e kasha ha kasha. Rather, if we're going to have a question, it's going to be as follows. The next Mishnah says, the Shama Omim ain't noisin as the Ur Lifnei Adorson. You're not, let's say you shechted an animal on Yom Tov. Now, what are you going to do with the skin? You stripped it off the animal. That, of course, you're allowed to do on Yom Tov because that's Melechas Eichel Nefesh also. You need it in order to eat meat. But what do you do with the skin? Normally, what you would do is you want to tan it. You can't tan skin on Yom Tov. So, as Shammai said, you can't put it down in a place where people are going to step on it, which is the first stage of tanning it. V'loyag vihenu, and in fact, you're not even allowed to pick up the skin, says the Shammai, Elim ken yeshal of kazayas baser, unless there's still a kazayas of meat attached to it, where then the skin is like a handle for it. But otherwise, the skin itself has no, the raw skin itself has no use on Yom Tov, and therefore it's mutter. Or Basilo Matirin, Basilo says both of those things are mutter. You're allowed to pick it up, and you're allowed to put it down someplace where people will step on it. So again, now this is a matter of Simchas Yom Tov, because if he can't do anything with the skin is expensive after all, he may not bother shechting in the first place and not have Simchas Yom Tov. And we see nevertheless that Shammai is being machmer, or Rumini Ashechet Chayva Oif Yom Tov. So why are they being makel by Shechet Chayva Oif? And again, Amr Abyechet, Mokhlef is Ashita, and it's flipped around. And again, the Gemara says, Mimai. Not necessarily, who says that that's a valid comparison such that you should have to say Mukhlef is Hashita? Dilma Lohi, maybe not so. Ad kan lekanvis shaman hasam alagei heichad the ikar deker notes. Again, there at least they have deker notes. Avol heichad the leker deker notes loy. In the case of the skin, you have no, you have not nothing comparable to a deker notes. No beginning of a malacha that was done before Yom Tov, where then you can say that now you're only continuing it. So when avol heichad the leker deker notes loy, when there's no deker notes, then they won't. Inami, and furthermore, ad kan lekanam beshilol hocha ela dechazi lemizgala ilavei. The fact is, Beshilol says, you know why you're allowed to move the skin? Because even on Yom Tov itself, it has a use. You could spread it out on the ground and recline on it, to lay on it as it is. In fact, the Shittim Kubetza says that really is the crux of the machlokes between Beshama and Beshilol. You could do that, but you wouldn't normally do that with a raw skin. You would at least tan it a little bit first. So Beshama is going to say that's not really, it's not chazi for anything yet. Whereas Beshilol is going to say, you know what, I did chak it is, so therefore that's good enough for us to be able to handle it on Yom Tov. Aval hasam loy, or in the case of Shchita, you don't have such a thing, so therefore they be machda. Ela'i kasha ha kasha. So note, if we're going to have a question between Mishnayos and our Perek, then it's going to be from the next one. Now, these trisin, we have to give a little background. Rashi explains like this. The stores that we're talking about, we're going to explain later, we're going to explain over here and later in the Gemara, are not, they're not buildings. They're more like stalls, like movable stalls that they bring to the marketplace at times, and then sometimes they move them someplace else.
Like in
Yishuv Yerushalayim, like in other places, yeah. So now you have the opening of them, the window where you're going to serve the customers at night. It's closed up with a tris, with a shutter. Then in the morning, when you open up the store, you take down the shutter, you put it. On the windowsill over there, and that becomes your counter, and that's what you serve the customers on. So now the question is, that you're taking off the shutter and putting it back on, is that a matter, is that a problem of binyan? So Beshama Ein Misalkin is a tris in the Yom Tov. Beshama says you're not allowed to take down these tris and these shutters on Yom Tov from these stalls. Or Basil Matur and Aflahasu. Basil says not only you're allowed to take them down, you're even allowed to put them back at the end of the day. Now, of course, Almagab is Simchas Yom Tov, is Shaman Lachumra, is Hillel Lakula. This Hillel is going to be Makel because of Simchas Yom Tov. Now, obviously, you can't pay money on Yom Tov. So Rashi stresses over here what you do is this is a storekeeper who you know, and we're going to learn later on, we're going to learn in the second or third parak of our Masechta, you can't mention a specific dollar amount that you want to buy from him. You can't say, for example, I already bought from you 20 on credit. Now I'm going to buy another 10 more and we'll have 30 on credit altogether, whatever. But you have ways in which you are allowed to buy things on Yom Tov. In particular, later on when we discuss this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we're going to see these stores were mainly, they sold spices out of such stores. So you want spices from there to be able to flavor your Yom Tov dishes. So Beshilol is going to allow you to take off the trisin and even to return them. The Gemara is going to mention later, this is one of those examples of Itiru Seifen Meshum Tchilosan. The Chachamim allow you to put back the trisin because if you're not allowed to, you're not going to take them down in the first place. What, you're going to want to leave your stall open all night. Then they're not going to want to open their stores and people aren't going to have Simchas Yom Tov. So we see that Beshilol is being Mekel when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, and Beshama is being Machmir, Urimini Ashechet Chayvay for Yom Tov. On the other hand, when it comes to Shchita, the other way around. They'd have to check with that day, right. So the Gemara says, okay, Bishlema Bishamai Abishamai like Kasha. The fact is, okay, we can answer like we've been answering all along that Bishamai is not really contradicting themselves because it has some Ika Deka notes, Hachaleka Deka notes. Again, when it comes to the shechting, at least you have a Deker notes. You already have the shovel stuck in the ground to begin the digging for the dirt. Whereas over here, you don't have any such parallel thing. Therefore, they're going to answer it. In other words, Rashi says, because they hold yesh binyan v'kelim, that the concept of binyan and stira applies to kelim just as much as it does to buildings. Ela b'shilol abishilol kasha. But what about b'shilol? Why is it that by shchita they're machmir and over here they're mekel? So here's where Rabbi Yechanan says that it's flipped around. So evidently you have to flip around one or the other of those Mishnayos in order to make the Shama and Basilah be consistent with themselves. However, the Gemara says, maybe not. Ad can the cannabis hill hocha elemishum the inbinin kalim the instead of a kalim. Maybe what it is Bisham Bishill in fact disagrees on that premise. Bishill hold that there is no binion and steer of a kalim. Therefore, these things again, they're not fixed to the ground, they're movable stalls. So the taking off the tris and putting them on is only a keli. So therefore, so the Chachamim are gonna allow it for Yamtiv for Simchas Yamtiv. I will host them loy, but over there, when it comes to the digging, Bishill is still gonna be concerned about that the fact is you're digging on Yamtiv, which you can't do, and you might do ksisha, as we said, you might crumble up the dirt. Now, an important point over here is there are different yusois among the Rishonim whether we have this last line in the Gemara or not. Rashi and Tosfos apparently do not have this last line and a half in the Gemara, and they end off with Rabbi Yechonon's Mochlefes Hashita. So according to them, that's the Maskana. So at least in that Mishnah, we have to, at least in one or the other of those Mishnayos, either the one about the Trisin or the one about the Shita, we have to flip around the opinion. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam and others do have it, as we have it over here in front of us in the Gemara. So that's Negea, of course, La Halacha. When it comes to the case of the Trisin, are we allowing it or are we not? And when it comes to the Shchita, are we allowing it or are we not? If we leave the Mishnayos as they are, as we have them in front of them, then it comes out, when it comes to the Shchita of the Chaya V'Oif and the Halachas like this Hillel, only if you have Ofer Mochon M'Oid Yom are you allowed to, which is what we mentioned yesterday, what Tosfos brings about that on the face of it, why do they require Hachana? They think, as Tosfos had said yesterday, Rabbi Natan had said, people mistakenly think that the Mishnah of Ashechet Chayiv Ba'oif B'Yamtiv remains as is, where really that's the one that the Gemara is finishing off, Mochlefes Hashita, and therefore it comes out that only according to Bais Shammai would you need dirt to be Mochon and according to Bais Hillel not. On the other hand, according to the Rif and the Rambam, no Mishnayos are being flipped around. So when it comes to the Shechita, you do need off of Mochon, and when it comes to the Trisin, you're allowed to take them off and put them back on. Because ain't binyan b'kelim, ain't steer b'kelim. Mind you, by the way, Rashi and Tosfos discuss in some other places in Shas, in particular, of course, in the Sechta Shabbos, this ain't binyan b'kelim, ain't steer b'kelim is not so simple anyway. Here we're talking about putting back on or taking off a tris is one particular part of the keli. When you have, let's say, if you have a whole keli that fell apart and you're going to put it back together, then we would say yesh binyan b'kelim and yesh steer b'kelim, because that's something different. No, as a matter of fact, no. In fact, in Adius, we talked about yesterday, in Adius, it lists all the ones where Bais Shammai is making on Bais Hillel's Machmer, but afterwards, so first it mentions all the ones that everybody agrees that's, but then you have further in Adius, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shisha Dvarim Mikula Bais Shammai and Mechum Bais Hillel, Rabbi Yossi says that there's a certain number of whoever, so yeah, there's a few of them where also they were, yeah. So you can't prove from that. By the way, the Pnei Yeshua points out an interesting point. He says you have a certain raya from the flow of the Gemara for Rashi and Tosfos that they take out the part about Ad Kan L'Kamei Bais Hillel, about the Ein Binyan B'Kelim V'Ein Steer B'Kelim, because according to them, then we understand why the Gemara stops at this point. Why doesn't it continue with the other Mishnayos in the Perek? You have more Mishnayos after that, where Bais Shammai is Machmer and Bais Hillel is Mekel. According to the Rif and the Rambam, now that we've entered this one, the Gemara should have gone on to the next one and tried to make Rabbi Yechonon's Mochlefes Hashita apply to all of them. The fact that it doesn't seems to show that's it. The Gemara has found one where Mochlefes Hashita, and that's it. We don't need to go find any more after that. Okay. The Mishnah says, we talked about then in the previous Mishnah that you're taking a ladder to a shovach, to a birdhouse in order to get birds. So now we have the machloikas about whether you're allowed to bring the ladder there or not. So now we have a further machloikas. Bishama says you're not allowed to take the birds. You're not allowed to take any particular birds on Yom Tov unless you actually pick them up and move them the day before. And Bais Hillel says it's good enough to just stand there before Yom Tov and say, I'm going to take this one and this one. Or not even the Alter Rebbe says, maybe you don't even, according to Bais Hillel, you don't even necessarily have to say. You think very strongly in your mind that you're going to take these particular ones. However, he adds, in that case, whatever the case, you're going to need a Tvius Ayin. You're going to need some kind of simon or Tvius Ayin on the birds in order to make sure that you take the right ones tomorrow. Okay. So the Gemara says, the whole machloikas, Bais Shammai Bais Hillel, is specifically about the first about the first pair of young. Now, the way it works, Rashi explains, is that so birds, doves or whatever, like doves we're talking about over here, give birth to a pair of birds every month, most months of the year. And so now what happens is, so the first pair that's born to a nesting pair, to the parents, you want to keep them with them in order that they keep the mother company. Otherwise, like the Gemara mentions this in Bava Basra as well, you sell doves to somebody else. How many do you have to leave over there? Because the point is, otherwise, if you take away all the children, then the parents are likely to say, they're likely to think, and their little bird brains, what do we need to stay here for? Let's go fly off someplace else. So you want your shoivach to remain populated with birds. So therefore, with each nesting pair, you keep their first babies with them, which is called bricha rishona. So now the machloikas that where Bishamai is saying that you have to actually pick them up, and Basilo says it's enough to just verbally say, is by this bricha rishona. So Bishamai says what happens is when he comes to take them the next day on Yom Tov, he may change his mind and say, you know what, this is the bricha rishona, it's a pity to take them away from their mother, and therefore, so it comes out that now he picked them up for no reason. As opposed to once he already picked them up the day before, then already, and the day before, he didn't change his mind and say, you know what, this is the bricha rishona, how, what am I doing? Then we don't figure he's going to change his mind on Yom Tov itself. Or Basil Tzabi, like Gazrin, and Basil says that there's no reason to make such a gzeira. But when it comes to the second pair of birds, you don't have to take them from there. It's good. We ran out. When it comes to the bricha shnia, then everybody will agree it's good enough to stand there and say zevazani noito, because the bricha shnia, the second pair, and later of babies, we don't expect that he's going to have such rachmonosan, because the mother doesn't need them so much for company anyway. So now the question is, why according to Basil, do we even need to say Zevazani Noto? Lema Mikanani Noto Lamacher, why according to Basil, wouldn't it be good enough to just say, I'm going to be taking from here tomorrow, generically, without even picking out any particular birds? And the next day, he'll go and pick which ones he actually wants. So you're going to answer, maybe Basil doesn't hold of the concept of Brera. We're going to say this would be a case of Brera, because you'd be saying the next day you want to have, there's a volume of Sukkah Beitza over there. You'd be saying that the next day when you come and pick the birds, retroactively, these are the ones that you meant to take the day before. So maybe Basil doesn't hold of that concept. The problem is we know that they do. V'hotnan, hames babayis, we learn in the Mishnah that if you have a mess in a house, v'loips, the house is closed. So Rashi says that, so v'loips sochem habe, the house has many doors. Rashi says all the doors are open or all of them are closed, meaning therefore you don't know which doorway you're going to be taking the mess out through. Actually, Rashash points out a problem with that. If all of them are open, then we're going to be talking about tuma in the doorway. If the doors are open anyway, there's tuma in the doorway because they're part of the oil. So he says psuchim over here maybe means that the doors are closed but not locked. So all the doors are closed but not locked, or all of them are locked. Whatever the case, the point is, therefore, at this point, you don't know which of those doors or windows, for that matter, you're going to end up taking the mess out through. So kulam tmeim, all of those doorways are tomei. So therefore, any keli that's underneath the lintel of that door, even though the door is closed and the area within the doorway is outside, nevertheless, any kalim in there that are tomei.
You don't take off the space.
So what we're going to do once you open. So in other gemaras, it talks about more details about this. That it depends if you have. We learned about this in Eruvin, I think that if you have one of them is wide and the other ones are narrow, that if one of them is at least four tefachim wide and the other ones are not, then yeah, we assume he's going to take the mess out through that one. Then only that one is tummy. Here we're talking about where all the doorways are at least that wide. So therefore, there's no particular reason. We don't know that there's any one that there's any preference for one over the other. Anyway, Rashi uses the expression over here that the Chachamim made a gzera on any place where the Truma might come out of, and here we don't know. So therefore, all of them. Now, it's interesting that the Hagoyis Ma'arav Ranshburg points out that later on, toward the end of the Masechta, we're going to have the sugya again, because we also have a sugya about Breira over there. And there Rashi says that this matter of the doorways being Tomei is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So what's he saying over here? Gzeira d'rabbanan. So a number of achronim talk about back and forth about it. One of them is the Pnei Yeshua has a long explanation of it. That the gist of it is that here we're talking within Rav Chanan Bar Ami's opinion, and how he's trying to understand Beis Hillel. So within that, you might say that you might argue that this is only a Gzeira D'Rabbanan you're talking about. Whereas over there, and especially because this whole concept that the Psachim should be Tameh is really a little unusual anyway. So therefore, we can attribute it to a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Later on, when we're talking about Breira in a context of Eruvin, where you actually even have opinions of Tanoim that Eruvin are Daraisa, so therefore Rashi mentions over there that it's Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. It's a longer and more complicated explanation than that, and I don't think I really got the Nekuda of what he's saying, but that's anyway. Okay. Anyway, Niftach Echad Mehen, if one of those doorways gets open, then that doorway is Tomei, all the rest of them are Tahor, because now we know that they're going to take the mess out of that one. Now, so far, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree to everything we said so far. What about if he thinks to take out the mess through one of them, or he plans to take out the mess through a window that's at least 4x4 tefachim? Matzelas, I'll call up Psachim Kulam, then that saves all the other doorways. So now any kalim in any of the other doorways remain Tahor, and only that one's going to be Tameh. So now when does he have to think that? Beis Shammai says that works only if he had that machshava before the person died. And Beis Hillel says even after he died. So presumably the machloikas is about Breira. So you're talking about kalim that were there when the person died, and now later on he had this machshava. So Beis Shammai is saying Breira doesn't work, and therefore these kalim are tamei. And Beis Hillel says Breira works, and therefore retroactively these kalim never became tamei. So in that case, Rashi says, in that case, but on that assumption, then when we said the kulam tamein and kulam tahurin would refer to kalim that were there after the machshava took place. Anyway, so you see that Beis Hillel holds a Breira. Tosfos, by the way, mentions in this connection that one thing is that one possibility is we could be talking about where you made a new door. If it was one of the existing doors, then maybe you should say you don't even need machshava, because if we're going to say Breira, then when you open up that door, then it comes out that Lamafreya, that was the one that you intended to use. So we could be talking about actually where you made a new door. Or Tosfos says also another possibility is, what if the mess is staying inside there, you're not actually taking it out, or Hagoy Sabach changes Nishar to Nisraf, the mess was burnt inside the house, so therefore it never ends up getting taken out. So that would be the case when we'd say that all the psachim are tamei. Anyway, so the Gemara says, no, ha'itmar Allah. No, you should know that there was said on that it's not a matter of Breira. Omer Rabba l'tayras ha'psachim mikanal abba. No, the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is only after the machshava took place, do we say what happens to any kalim that are placed in that doorway after that and before the mess is taken out. But both of them agree that we're not doing Breira over there. Any kalim that were there until the machshava are going to in fact be tamei. Beis Shammai is going to say that once you have the doorways become tamei, then you need a maisa to undo that, namely that you actually open the door, not just that you think of a particular door. Once you open the one door, right? But the point is, you need a maisa, as opposed to Beis Hillel is going to say a machshava is good enough. But nothing to do with Breira. So Rav Oshia says the same thing. So it's nothing to do with Breira. So you don't have any proof that Beis Hillel holds of Breira. So So therefore, so well, Rava Amar Lo Olam L'Mafreya. So Rava says actually that no, in fact, over there it would work L'Mafreya. Nevertheless, so okay. So according to the first answer is, in other words, that nobody holds a Breira. So then, so why does Basilo? So fine. That would explain why Basilo needs to say Zevazani Noito, because otherwise you have a problem of Breira when you take the birds the next day. But Rava on the Lo Olam L'Mafreya, Rava says no. As a matter of fact, Basilo does hold that the machshava on the doors is going to work the Mafreya as well, and therefore, so it's a matter of Breira. So then, in that case, why does Basilo say that you have to say Zevazani Noto? But Hocha, I know Taima Dilma Metalta V'Shavik. Because if he doesn't pick out the birds that he wants before Yomtiv, then he's going to pick up birds and then put them down, decide he doesn't want them, pick up other ones, decide he doesn't want them. And now he's picking up something that's not suitable for Yomtiv. And in other words, therefore he's handling Mukta for a purpose of Oichel Nefesh. Therefore, Basil is going to require that he actually says Zev Zani Noito, and then once he already picks them, then we don't think he's going to change his mind so much.
According to Rava, you do say Breira.
So according to Rava, at least Basil does hold a Breira, right?
And does it mean actually that even the tailor that was there before the door opened up or before the machshava?
So that would be
or pashtus. Or one tailor that you brought for the outside, you put it on the
pashtus. It would mean if we say that we're talking about Breira, then what we mean is the kalim that were there at the time of the machshava retroactively become they were never tameh in the first place because they were in the doorways that weren't going to be open. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean? You're saying that it's good enough to just stand even from far away and not move the birds. So you haven't actually checked which ones are fat and which ones are skinny or whatever. So why aren't we concerned that on Yom Tov itself, you're going to say before Yom Tov, let's say I'm going to take these two black ones. Then on Yom Tov itself, you come and you discover that the two black ones are really scrawny and you're going to say also, I don't want those. And the answer is, Hani Mili Me'erev Yom Tov. The answer is because when we say Zevazani Noito is when he said that on Erev Yom Tov, that's good enough. So the point is he did it on Erev Yom Tov, so he knows that any other ones are Mukta. Therefore, of necessity, he's going to have to take the ones he picked, whether he likes it or not.
Right.
Right. Well, but the point is that before Yom Tov, he didn't necessarily pick them up to check which ones are which. He just said Zebazani Noito. But having done that, he knows already that all the other ones are Mukta, so he's not going to try to take many of them. Alba Yom Tov also, but if he didn't even say Zebazani Noito before Yom Tov, and he's figuring, I'm just going to check them all tomorrow, then we're saying it's also Dezimnin, the Mishtachi, Shmenim, Choshim, Choshim, Shmenim. Because then sometimes you're going to have the ones that he thought were fat are really skinny, or choshim shmeinim, and vice versa. And then he's going to end up handling something that is not suitable for him to use, and therefore he's handling mukta.
Could he have the machshava on all of them?
So can he have the machshava on all of them? So the answer is it depends. If there's a chance that he might end up needing all of them on Yom Tov, then yes, he is allowed to. But if not, then no. And if he does that, if he tries that, then he's not going to be able to use any of them because that's the equivalent of not making any of them mochan at all. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Make sure you get some. Yeah. It's true. We don't have birdhouses. Yeah. Bechlal, actually, now that you mention it, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that even though you have all these halachas about shechting on Yom Tov, lemaisa nowadays, we're not knowing to do it. Because nowadays we have a much higher incidence of trephis than they did in the olden days, and therefore there's a good chance that you're going to end up that the animal that you shecht is going to be trepha. So therefore, so lav dafka do we shecht on Yom Tov? I think it says that.
Animals, yeah.
Birds, maybe not. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Okay.
Birds also have trephis,
of course, but it's much less common. But birds is much less common, yeah.
I don't
know, every other one. It also depends what. It also, well, not treif necessarily, no, just maybe not glot, but maybe not glot. But yeah, it also depends what part of the world they come from. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. You might even have a problem. You come on Yom Tov not having picked out any before Yom Tov, and you find that all of them are scrawny. And then then you're not going to have Simchas Yomtev at all. So, and all of that because you didn't check yesterday. So then, and he's going to think to himself, you know what? I mean, in a whole birdhouse, inevitably there's going to be at least two or three good ones. And then he comes on Yomtev and discovers that all of them are bad. When you make him pick certain ones before Yomtev, then he knows whether on Yomtev it turns out that there's fat or scrawny or whatever. He has no choice. Those are the ones he's going to have to take. And therefore, those are the ones he's going to end up taking rather than any other. No, he can't pick out new ones, and that's in fact the next mission over here. Well, it doesn't talk about ones that are dying, but yeah, it talks about if they flew away and got replaced by others. Same idea, yeah. Yes, we're gonna have a much longer sugya about Breira at the end of the Masechta on the Chesed on the case. No. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says. More on this topic of the birds. Zimin by the way, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch also, Rishonim mentioned all of this we're only talking about as far as like birds in a birdhouse. What happens, let's say, for example, you have chickens in your yard. Do you have to pre-designate them before Yom Tov? No, because there, you have them ready from long before Yom Tov that you plan to shech them and eat them. And they actually belong to you and mizanois and alecha, you have to feed them whatever. Here we're talking about, you have to remember that these birds, we're talking about these birdhouses, they're like half wild birds. They're like, they come in from someplace else and they fly in and
they fly in and they don't fly out together.
Well, yeah, okay, fine, but the point is they started out as wild, and later on at the beginning of the third parak, in fact, we're going to talk about you're not allowed to feed them on Yom Tov because not mizanois and alecha. And by the way, also it does mention over there you're not allowed to trap such birds either. So all of this that we're talking about over here necessarily, as the Gemara is actually going to mention soon for a different reason, has to be talking about where these birds can't fly yet. Because if they can fly, then already you have an issue with Seda anyway. Tosfos pointed that out. We'll get to that in the third paragraph as well. Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Zimin Shchodim Amotzal Avonim. If you designated before Yom Tov black ones, and then on Yom Tov you came there and found white ones, obviously they're not the same ones. Or Levonim Amotzal Shchodim. If you designated white ones and then you found black ones. Or Shnayim Amotzal Shloisha. You designated two, and on Yom Tov you come and find three. Asurim, then all of them are Asur, because even in the case of the two and three, as the Gemara is going to say, obviously one of them is not one of the ones you designated. And therefore, so you have at least one in there, maybe even more than one, that's not. It's not going to be bottle, Tosfos points out, because Bali Chaim are not bottle, and also because Dabar Shiesh and Matirin, because after Yom Tov, all of them are going to be mutter.
But if you recognize these are the ones.
These are the ones, sure, but we're not talking about that, right? Shloisho Motzah Shnayim Mutarin. On the other hand, if you designated three and now you found two, then it's mutter, because now we have a good reason to assume that it's the same two as before, and one of them flew away. What if he designated them while they were inside the nest, and now he found them on Yom Tov in front of the nest and didn't find any birds in the nest? Asurin, and they're also, because again, it might be that these are birds that came from someplace else. The im ensham elahim, however, if those are the only birds in the area, then they're mutter, because the other birds, there's no other bird houses close enough for birds to be able to get there, as the Gemara is going to talk about tomorrow, about that these are birds that can't fly yet. They can only walk, and they can only walk a certain distance, as the famous thing with Rabbi Yirmiyah and the 50 Amos from Rabbi Vass, right? Which we'll talk about tomorrow, as the Shem. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara asks Pshita, isn't this obvious? Obviously, black ones and white ones are not the same ones. So if you designated black ones and you found white ones, why does the mission even need to tell us that you can't use them? Omer Rabba, Hochab Maya Skinnan. Right, but what the Mishnah is talking about is Gugenshazimin Shchodim Ulavonim. What if he designated some black ones and some white ones? Now you have, let's say, so there are two black ones in one cubicle, and the next cubicle over there are two white ones. The next morning he comes and he finds the black ones are where the white ones were, and vice versa. So Bapashtus then, so Maudatema, you would have thought, Hani Inhu Nimu, these are actually the same ones, these Hapuchi is Hapuch, they just got switched around, they just switched places. Kamash Milan, therefore the Mishnah tells us, no, you can't assume that, You have to be concerned that the other ones might have flown away. And these are different ones, again, unless you have a Tvias Ayin or something on them. And then, but the Rosh, by the way, points out, this is only when they're in Shnei Kinin. If they're all in one cubicle, and you had, when you designated them, the black ones were nesting on the right side of it, and the white ones on the left side, and now the next day you find them the other way around, that's not a problem. Within one cubicle, they'll move around, sure. But the Tzlach actually points out an interesting thing in this. He says, so why, still, why does the Mishnah need to use such a long expression? Zimin shchodim u'matza levonim, levonim u'matza shchodim. Just say simple, zimin elu u'matza elu, or something like that. So he says, what if you have, let's say, you have two white birds and two black birds, let's say, in one cubicle, and the same in the other cubicle. The next day, you come and find there are white ones in that one, but no black ones. Instead, there are more white ones, and the same thing in the other one. So now, maybe you could say at least the two white ones are the same ones as from before. No, we still don't say that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Mesaile le Rav Chanina. Can we say then that our Mishnah supports what Rav Chanina says? The Amar Rav Chanina, Roiv v'karev holoch acha roiv. When you have a case where you have the majority, you have something that you find between two things. You don't know which one it came from. You have, in one place, you have a majority over the other. In the other one that was closer. Which one do you go according to? So Rav Chanina says you go according to Ruv. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about this. It mentions, for example, what about we see by Egla Arufa on the face of it, it's not like that. By Egla Arufa, you say you go to the Kvahoya Irakreva, the closest city is the one that brings the Egla Arufa. And in fact, the Gemara says over there that actually maybe that would only apply if all the cities nearby have the same population. If you have one that has a larger population, in fact, you would have to go according to that one based on Rav Chanina's rule. We had something about this in Shtolim a while back as well, that for example, you have over there the boxes, the pushkas in the Bis Mikdash that with money in them for different purposes, and if you find coins between them, then which one do they belong to? So Rav Chanina says that you go according to Roiv. So on the face of it over here also, we're saying, after all, the black ones that you're finding in the next cubicle over, those are, on the one hand, you have Korov, they could have come from the next cubicle over, which are the ones that you designated before Yomtov. On the other hand, you have Roiv birds in the world that you didn't designate before Yomtov, and you're telling us that you have to assume the black ones came from there. So wouldn't that prove what Rav Chanina says? The answer is not necessarily. Like Abaye says, to explain the sefer of the Mishnah, that we're talking about a case where there's a shelf in front of the birdhouse. So you have the birds that nest inside the birdhouse. You also have, because there's this ledge out there, other birds from other places come and sit over there also. They won't go inside because the birds inside will kick them out. But they will go and sit on the ledge over there. So if the other birds go out of the nest, then these squatters will right away come in. So when you have a daf over there, then you have more reason to be concerned about Roy. But you're right. Maybe in fact, if there's no daf over there, maybe you don't need to be concerned about that because maybe we would go according to Korei. The halacha is, in fact, like Rav Chanina, that Roiv v'karev halacha achar Roiv, but you don't necessarily have a proof from it from our Mishnah unless you have it, because the case in our Mishnah can be where you have a daf.
So if it's a daf, it's a Roiv and a Korev together.
Well, I mean, I don't know that the ones that are on the daf themselves are the Roiv, but yeah. Well, it's small, but it's still, the point is that you have Roiv because any birds from the whole rest of the world can come and nest on, can come and sit on there. So therefore, you have now, once there's a daf over there, then you have a Roiv of birds from the whole world to consider, as opposed to if there's no daf over there, how many birds are you going to have that are able to get in? Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Shnayim u'matza shloisha asurim. And by the way, an interesting point is one. That now you have both Korev and Roiv, yeah. An interesting point, by the way, is that the Gemara is going to later on bring the statement of Abaye in connection with the Sefer. Why, in fact, didn't Abaye specifically mention it on the Reisha, such that we have to say, like Abaye says later, Badaf, so here also Badaf. And the reason is because later on you actually have a Abaye and Rava arguing at the end of our Mishnah when we talk about the case of the Seicha Kain or Motza Lifnei Kain, whether we're talking about involving a daf where Abaye says yes and Rava gives a different reason. Here, everybody would have to agree that it's talking about there's a daf because there's no other way to make it work. We said Shnaim or Motza Shloisha Asurin. If you designated two and later on you find it to be then they're Asur because Manafsha, because no matter how you look at it, if all three of them are different ones, well then they're different ones and they weren't designated. Even if not, you have one mixed in together with them, and then again, there's no Bittul because it's Bali Chaim and because Davar Shiyash Manatir. Okay, we said shloisho motza shnayim mutarin. If you designated three and then you found two, then they're mutarin. My time, because we can assume hani inhu ninu, these are in fact the same ones. But chadmin, I also allow them, one of them flew off. Tosfos says the fact is usually we wouldn't say. I mean, again, it's davar shiyash lematir. Then why are we being makel? Because since you have two left over here, there's a good reason. It's almost like a glayim or davar to say that these are probably the same two. The Gemara says, "Lema masnisin Rebbe hi v'loy Rabbanan." Would we have to say that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe and not the Rabbanan? The Tanya, "Hi niach mona umotza masayim." What if a person put down someplace a mona of ma'isa sheni, and later on he comes and finds 200 a mona is 100 zuz, and later on he finds 200? So we have to assume chulun a ma'isa sheni mu raven zebazet divir Rebbe. Rebbe says you have to consider that now you have chulun and ma'isa sheni mixed together. So what you do is Rashi said you take the nicer coin. You know, in those times coins the value of them depended on how good a condition they're in, how much metal they have in them because they wear out over time. So you take the better one. You say if this one is the one of ma'isa, then good, and if not, then I'm machalol the other one on it. Tosfos actually disagrees and says what you need to do is you need to first be mechalal them on copper, and then you mechalal that on silver again, because you can't be mechalal directly silver on silver. On the side over here, it mentions that actually in Psochim, where you also have this, Braisa mentioned, Rashi and Tosfos have exactly the opposite opinions. Rashi uses Tosfos' explanation over here, and Tosfos there uses Rashi's explanation over here. Anyway, the fact is, Tosfos on different Masechtas are from different yeshivas, so they always point out you can't ask questions from Tosfos in one Masechta on Tosfos in a different Masechta because they're not necessarily from the same Baalei HaTosfos. Unless it says Rebbeinu Tam or Ri or whatever, yeah. Anyway, okay. So Divrei Rebbe. So that's what Rebbe says. You have to consider the original mana is still there and it's mixed in together with another mana. The Chum say, no, you can assume that all of it is chulin since you didn't find exactly what you found. We can assume you must have taken out the mona of Ma'isa Sheni and put it someplace else, and then you put these and you forgot because the person doesn't usually put chulin and Ma'isa Sheni money together. Because of the fact, because Ma'isa Sheni money has to be treated differently than chulin, so usually a person is not going to put them together. What about Hiniach Masayim Motza Mona? What about the other way around, which is more similar to the case of our Mishnah? He put 200 and he found only a mona. Mona munach or mona mutal dibre Rebbe. So Rebbe says, okay, the mona that remains is the mona, is one mona of Ma'isa Sheni. The other one must have gotten lost. V'chamma makol chulin, the chum say, again, all of it is chulin because you didn't, why would you have separated it? If you have to take Ma'isa Sheni money to your shalayim, why would you have separated out one mona and left the other mona there? More likely, you took out the 200 and put it someplace else, and then you put a mona of chulin in there and then forgot about it. So the point is, based on that, in our Mishnah, when we designated three birds and we have two left, based on the Chachamim, according to the Chachamim's Shitta over there, we should say that we have to be concerned that these are different birds. Only Rebbe would say we can attribute that it's the same ones. So our Mishnah would be only according to Rebbe. The answer is no. Afilu Tamei Rabbanan. You could say that it's according to the Rabbanan as well. The fact is that birds are different because they regularly move around. They walk in and out. A mona doesn't move by itself. So the Gemara says, actually, why do you even need that answer? Wasn't there further said on that within Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar's opinion, where they're saying that the gozlus dasuin the dadis, they themselves point out that Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar have a different machloikas on that. Chad omer b'shnei kisim machloikas. One of them says the whole machloikas is if the two monas were originally in separate bags. So then we can talk about, did you maybe take one bag and leave the other, or did you take both then? But if it was all in one bag, then this manda almost says everybody would agree it's chulin, because you're not going to put ma'aser sheni and chulin in the same bag. The other one says the other way around. The machloikas says when it's in one bag, avav shneikis in avav shneikis in divrei hakol mona monach or mona moto. But if it's in separate bags, then everybody would agree that one is the original one and the other one is, and then and that that one of them was taken away and the other one was, and the other one was left. So if they're two separate bags, right? So now. So now, looking at that machloikas, if we say that the whole machloikas Rebbe and the Chachamim is when you have two money bags, then birds are similar to that. Then you have to say, the fact is, even with two bags, you're saying that Rebbe and the Chachamim are disagreeing. Therefore, the only way to make it work, to make our Mishnah work one to everybody, would be to say that there would be to say that gozlas are different because they move around unlike money bags. But if you say the whole machloikas Rebbe and the Chachamim is only when it's all in one bag, whereas if it's in two bags and everybody agrees that one mana was taken and the other mana was left. So why do you even need an explanation, a separate explanation about the birds? You're saying they don't argue about two money bags and birds are in effect the same as money bags. It's two separate birds. So according to that, we wouldn't even need the answer that birds move around unlike money bags. The fact that we're using that answer seems to be only according to one side of the machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar. But what according to the other side, why do we even need to answer that? The answer is Amar Ashi Hocha Begozlus Mekusharim Bekisim Mekusharim Askinan. Because here we're not just talking about that the birds are, here we're talking about where the birds are tied together or the money bags are tied together. When we say b'kis echad machloikas, we don't mean literally in one money bag. We mean two bags, but they're tied together, so in effect they're like one bag. So then the difference is, so gozlus menatchi adadi, birds are going to pull one against the other, and therefore they're more likely to get detached one from the other. Kisin leminatchi adadi, whereas money bags don't do that, and therefore we have much more reason to say that everything that was there before is what's still there now. Eventually, you separate. I mean, you cut the rope between them. But the point is that So therefore, you can assume mona munach or mona moto. Given that they don't move away by themselves, then right. If we only find one there, it must be that somebody took one out. The Rebbe Amalach, whereas Rebbe will answer you, he will say, now that's not a valid distinction. Because even when it comes to money bags, sometimes the knot might get untied. So therefore, you might have, when a person came to take one of the bags, the knot was already untied, and he grabbed one and went, and therefore Rebbe still has reason to say, mona munach, mona muto, that out of the two mana that was there, one of them was taken, and the other one was left. It's not necessarily, when you pick up one, the other one is automatically going to come with it. So he would say, in other words, that money bags are the same as gozlus. And then the gozlus is fine. If they themselves are pulling apart by money bags, also you could say they themselves don't pull apart, but the knot might get undone.
It will hang around for a long time.
It might. I mean,
right away after you knot it together, then a short.
Well, that depends. I guess that depends how that. First of all, if it was that short a time, you'd remember whether it was Ma'aser Sheni or Chulin. But besides that, also, it really depends. You know, some people don't really know how to tie knots well. And, you know, think of, you know, your kids or your grandchildren, you know, tie their shoes, and 5 minutes later, they're untied again, you know. So, yeah. So not necessarily. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about money anyway. You're not handling money on Yom Tov. No. The one about Ma'aser Sheni and Chulin has nothing to do with Yom Tov. We're just giving that. We're just using that. Would we say by analogy that in the case of the birds over here, only Rebbe would hold what we says in the Mishnah over here or not? So actually, now the Maskana, do we accept this point that our Mishnah is talking about Dafka where the birds are tied together, or not? So actually, so the Tzlach discusses it and says maybe not. After all, what Rav Ashi is saying depends only on this machlokas Rav Yechon and Rav Elazar. We have to first figure out who the halacha is like in that machlokas before we can say whether we're talking about over here whether the same din would apply to birds that are tied together, where you have reason to assume that these are the same birds and one flew away. And he learns the Rambam to be saying that as well. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe discusses in Hilchos Yom Tov, he has a long Kuntos Achron on this, where he discusses and brings proofs from many Rishonim, and also learns the Rambam that no, in fact, the Rav Ashi's explanation of Gozlus Mekushorim does end up being valid. And if they are Mekushor, then you Taka can say that these are the original birds. You're not going to say that they may have broken apart, that they may have broken apart and flew off, and these are different ones. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.